Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Thought for a minute we were off the air, folks, but no, apparently we are still on. Last night's Monday Night Raw, folks, it's a mixed bag, really. I've had a lot of people write to me and say, I thought it was quite entertaining. I thought it was very good. But again, so often what the WWE does is they will present some good matches, some interesting matchups, but be heading in the wrong direction. And I think this is exactly what happened last night with Monday Night Raw, is that from a standpoint of just watching wrestling matches, yes, it was entertaining. Yes, it was good. From the standpoint of a long-term story being told and where these stories are leading, I don't think it was very good at all. So let's get into it. We start out with the Usos, minus, of course, and Solo Sikoa, minus Roman Reigns, in the ring, being surprised by the Judgment Day. And my first reaction is, this is weird, and I don't think you want to quite flip the Usos yet or the Bloodline yet, so let's see where this is going. Obviously, it's not going to be the Judgment Day flipping. And where it leads is this weird, what Paul Heyman describes as a very temporary alliance that even the Usos didn't know about, in which they're going to take care of what he says is a Bad Bunny problem, and it turns out to be Rey Mysterio, so I don't know what that's all about. And the Judgment Day is going to take care of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Matt Riddle. How in anyone's world does this make sense? How does it make sense? So you're saying you have a problem you can't take care of, yet I think you can take care of ours. We have a problem that we ourselves can't take care of, but I think you can take care of. Why don't you just take care of your own problems? It doesn't make any sense. It would have made sense if you said we're temporarily going to align ourselves so there's going to be eight of us out there or whatever. But it doesn't make sense to say you take care of our problem, we'll take care of your problem. Basically admitting we can't take care of our own problems. It makes zero sense. Another thing that makes zero sense is that we're having this weird stare down between Rhea Ripley and Solo, to the point where Paul Heyman tells Jay to switch places with Solo and then Rhea switch places so that she's still staring him down. If you're going to in any way, shape, or form hint that you're going to have an intergender match between these two, I'm telling you right now, I will stop watching the WWE. I will stop covering the WWE, because if you're going to take Solo, a guy who has not been pinned but one time, and even then really not technically cleanly, by Cody Rhodes, your top guy, and has been running through all of these other WWE athletes, and he's going to have a hard time or maybe lose to Rhea Ripley, then I have no interest in watching your product anymore. Zero interest in watching your product anymore, because you have no respect for the fans. You think the fans are idiots. So that better not be where this is going. If you're going to have him fight Dominic, and in some way there's some tryst between those three where Rhea Ripley might actually like Solo or something, maybe I'll be on board with that. It sounds stupid, and I don't think I'll be on board with it, but I'm on board with it a lot more than if you're planning on actually getting them into some kind of physical combat. unless that physical combat ends with the bell rings, bam, she's done. And I don't think you want to do that to Rhea Ripley. Why in the world is your women's champion staring down Solo? Why is she not getting her own storylines, looking for something for her own title? So while there's nothing technically wrong with this beginning as far as entertainment value, where the storylines are going, I don't like. First off, your premise makes no sense of we have to form a temporary alliance to get rid of each other's problems. The way you would do that is to say all of us are going to get rid of Riddle and obviously Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and then all of us are going to get rid of Rey Mysterio and whoever. Not let's just switch places. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, I watched this and I'm saying to myself, I don't know where it's heading, but I don't think it's heading to any place I'm going to enjoy.
Right. Now, Rand, I know what I'm going to say don't make any sense because this person is all but gone from the WWE, but if she would have stared down, instead of staring down Solo, stared down Jimmy Uso, then you would have ran into your back of your mind that, well, Naomi is closer to signing and there's a chance that you could see Naomi versus, you know, Rhea Ripley. But, again, that would have made more sense than having her stare down. Basically, she didn't, even though they switched places, she didn't take her eyes off of Solo.
Right.
You know, that too made no sense, you know?
It's almost like they're saying, you're the top guy in the bloodline as far as being the enforcer, the one that's going to be the hard ass. I'm the one that's that way in the Judgment Day. That's ridiculous. That's just dumb. That's just dumb. End of conversation. It's dumb. So Charlotte Flair can take her to the limit, but she might be able to face Solo. Come on. This is ludicrous. So then Solo takes on Rey Mysterio. What this has to do with Bad Bunny, I don't know. But anyway, Solo takes on Rey Mysterio. This thing ends in a brouhaha with obviously the Latino World Order and listen, the whole thing's overbooked. I don't get it. Backstage, Paul Heyman confronts them and says, I think we did a good job. We took care of your problem. And Finn Balor says, I don't know, Todd. I'm just not digging this. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. And I don't like the direction it's going because where I think it's going is that the bloodline is going to have a major problem with the Judgment Day, and that's going to be their next big thing. And I don't understand it, and I don't like it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when last night with Rhea Ripley and Solo staring down, I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this intergender stuff in the ring. This is why L.A. Knight Eli Drake left Impact Wrestling because they wanted him and Tessa Blanchard to be in a match against each other over that Impact Championship. That's why Eli Drake left because of the. They want them to do intergender matches, and he said no.
Where that's going. I have no proof that's where it's going, but I don't know what you're doing it for if that's not where it's going. Doesn't seem to make much sense. Then am I wrong, or did they have a four-way women's tournament to decide who gets a future shot at the women's champion, and Io Sky won, only to have Dakota Kai get a shot at Bianca Belair, maybe not the title, but still get to face her the very next week. The very next week. Okay match, but I don't get, again, here's something I don't get. Why are you having a tournament to decide who gets to face her? And then Dakota Kai, because if presumably Dakota Kai beat her, she'd be the first in line for a title shot, right? So I don't know, Mike. Again, I don't understand this.
I don't get it either. Fine match. Okay match, but I don't get it. It doesn't make sense, you know, and that's the thing. Now, I mean, yeah, you can tell when Bailey came out there, you could tell she is not into this at all. She's just lethargic. She's you know, you wouldn't think of it because Bailey can be a dynamic character, but she is not. She is not feeling this at all right now.
No, it doesn't appear so. And that leads us to the Trish Stratus spot. Trish Stratus comes out to justify what she did, and it's actually a pretty good justification. She basically says she doesn't feel like she's given her fair shake and that Becky Lynch acts as though she and maybe the other horsewomen are the reason that the women's division is where it is, when in fact it's Trish Stratus. It's not even Lita, because Trish was ahead of Lita and blah, blah, blah. And Lita was an innocent victim because she had to take Lita out in order to formulate her plan to basically cost Becky Lynch the titles. Okay, well, I said last week, if she purposely cost Becky Lynch the titles, that's a good thing. That would explain a little bit more than, oh, I lost and I got mad about losing. So that's good. Here's what's not good. Once again, where this is heading is no good. Your feud should be with Lita. It makes no sense for a woman who has not wrestled hardly at all in the past, I don't know how many years, to take on Becky Lynch, who has taken on everyone and beaten them, and really give her a decent match. All it does is undermine the current women's division. Oh, Becky Lynch can walk over 90% of the people in the women's division now. But Trish Stratus can come out of retirement with one or two matches in 5 years under her belt and push her to her very limit. Does that make sense? So what you're basically saying is our women's division sucks. When we had Trish Stratus and Lita and all them, our women's division was a million times better. I mean, it was so much better that she can come out of retirement at 40-some-odd years old and almost beat Becky Lynch. Uh-uh. Don't like it. Your feud should be with Lita. About the same age, about the same amount of matches in the last, I don't know how long, much better. Much better idea. Would it be a better match? No, probably it wouldn't be. I understand that, but it makes a lot more sense because this doesn't make sense. Now I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus have a very highly contested match for about 10 or 15 minutes where Trish Stratus almost wins 7-10 times and Becky Lynch pulls it off. Okay. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So once again, Todd, I think, you know, her speech was fine, but it really should have been targeted more at Lita and not at Becky, because that's not where the good feud is.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good promo, but I would have it more towards like Lita, like have Lita and Trish Stratus and, as a feud than Becky Lynch. You know, you have if you put Lita and Trish Stratus, and if you have Becky Lynch be in the middle, play whose side she's on.
All they really had to do was think about it in terms of, does it make sense that Trish Stratus, with her level of activity recently, would be someone who could push Becky Lynch to the brink? No, it doesn't. Now, Becky Lynch didn't show up last night, did some weird things, changed her name to her real name, Rebecca Quinn, on her Twitter account, and blanked out her picture and said, I won't be at Raw tonight. You don't have to worry, folks. She's under contract until summer of 2024. This is all just some hype. And it really had to do, I think, with a foot injury that she has been working with, but it's getting worse. So they gave her some time off. So I don't know what she's pulling as far as that's concerned, but fans are saying she's leaving the WWE, she blacked out this, and she changed her name. None of that's happening. None of that's happening. It must have to do with this angle because she's signed, sealed, and delivered until, I believe, July of 2024. But, Mike, you know what I mean. You know, you can't – I don't know. For me, I don't want to see Trish Stratus push Becky Lynch to her limits because it undermines the rest of the women's division who can't do the same thing.
Right. And really, what should have happened is this. They should – the attack – the one that got attacked should not have been Lita. It should have been Becky Lynch. And the tag team match should have been Lita and Trish versus –
yep.
The other two girls and Trish, and there's your turn. There, you have Trish turn on Lita, and there's your feud.
Absolutely, that's exactly what should have happened, and it would have been a much, much better and more logical feud. So again, there's nothing wrong with what Trish Stratus said; she did it well. It's just it's leading in the wrong direction to a direction that's not going to help the WWE, in my opinion. Now, speaking of which, they said, hold my beer, we're going to do this again. The Miz takes on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins arguably being your top face or one of your top faces in the whole company, right? Now, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but I thought I saw Pat McAfee basically kick the hell out of The Miz in about 3 minutes at WrestleMania, and I thought I saw Snoop Dogg knock him out with one punch. Now, all of a sudden, Seth Rollins can't beat him. Seth Rollins is having the hardest time he can possibly imagine having with The Miz. Now, this was a fantastic match, and it proves my point that I've been saying for so long, and we've been saying as well on this show, that The Miz is a good wrestler. When you give him something, he can work. A lot of people, oh, he's terrible. He says, no, he's not. You just saw that. Yes, it helps to be in the ring with Seth Rollins, obviously. But he didn't do it alone. This was a really, really strong match. Probably the best match I've seen The Miz have in years. Here's the problem with the match. It was great and fun and entertaining to watch. But it sends the wrong signal. Well, how good is Seth Rollins if Pat McAfee can handle The Miz in under 4 minutes and Snoop Dogg can knock him out with one punch, but Seth Rollins can't seem to finish him off for 50 and then just barely does. See what I mean? You keep undermining your own competitors. It doesn't make any sense. If he can take The Miz that deep into the waters, he should have killed Pat McAfee. And he should have been the one to beat up Snoop Dogg. Because the other way doesn't make any sense. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it that The Miz is a clown and can't even beat up Pat McAfee. And The Miz is a clown. And he gets knocked out by Snoop Dogg. But all of a sudden, The Miz isn't a clown, and he almost beats Seth Rollins 15 times. Tom, again, it just undermines their roster, their own roster.
Yeah, they dug their own hole with that. It didn't make any sense. Not one bit, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I'm concerned because this is happening on a regular basis now, Mike, where again, they just got finished doing it and they're going to do it again, apparently with Trish Stratus and Becky. And now once again, they've done it with The Miz and Seth Rollins. I don't know how they can't see that all this really does is make it appear as though their rest of their roster isn't as strong as you would think.
Now, my question is this. Whose idea was this? All right. Was this something that was in the works before, or was this something that was rewritten and was rewritten by, did Vince have something to do with this? All right. Because if Vince had something to do with this and this wasn't planned on until he came back, then we can say that Vince's micromanaging things is a detriment to what's going on, right? So We don't know how that...
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter because let's just say that they wanted this to happen, then you don't do what you did at WrestleMania. If you say, we're going to give The Miz a little bit of a push. No, he's not going to beat Seth Rollins. He's going to come close to beating Seth Rollins. I mean, somebody who booked the match has to be back there saying, we want this to be a highly competitive match. Highly competitive. As opposed to, we just want this to be 5 minutes and done. Whoever said it's going to be a highly competitive match is undermining Seth Rollins and the rest of the roster because, wait a minute, Snoop Dogg beat him with one punch. Wait a minute, Pat McAfee's not even on the roster, and he beat him no problem. It doesn't make sense. It's not good for the company. You want to do this with The Miz, fine. You know, you have Miz hit rock bottom, and then he starts working his way up, and he beats lesser competitors, and then finally gets to the point where he's fighting Seth Rollins, and he almost beats Seth Rollins, and then you say, wow, you know, The Miz, in the last couple of months, has really came on here. He's been virtually undefeated, and okay, he lost to Seth Rollins, but he gave Seth Rollins everything he could handle. That's the way you then revamp The Miz. You don't revamp The Miz by saying, he's lost to Snoop Dogg 2 weeks ago, and now he's kicking Seth Rollins' ass all over the ring. It's just not the right way to do it. No matter who wrote it, it's not the right way to do it, and it undermines the entire company. So what do we get? We get Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley before this match. They couldn't have made it any more obvious. If they literally told you Bronson Reed is going to interfere, it would have been less obvious. Because before the match, they show what happened with Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed last week as if we're going to see a rematch. Then they have a little bit of a snippet of Bronson Reed, who apparently is going to be calling himself the nice guy or Mr. Nice. Well, it's terrible gimmick. Terrible. And then it's, oh, but he's not fighting him. He's fighting Austin Theory. Austin Theory's an afterthought, despite the fact that he has a belt around his waist. And I said, okay, well, we know Bronson Reed's coming out. And sure enough, Bronson Reed comes out, which makes zero sense. And here's why. Wouldn't he want Bobby Lashley to beat Austin Theory? Because then, if he's going to fight Bobby Lashley, it's going to be for a title. So stopping Bobby Lashley from winning actually makes no sense. If he were smart, you would assume he would say, go ahead and win that title, because as soon as you do, I'm attacking you. And then I'm going to be the first guy up for a title shot. So once again, we're in this area where the WWE's writing is 100% illogical, Tom.
Yeah, I thought that was, I mean, you might as well have just said that Bronson Reed was coming out to, you know, to demolish Bobby Lashley. It was just outrageous. It was almost like it was insulting. Like you put on this video package. It was like, what do we think was going to happen? What do we think is going to, anybody who's over the age of 12 would be like, oh, well, Bronson Reed's coming out. There's no question. And that is, in a way, they jumped the shark. In a way, they jumped the shark, and they made it less, the word for it, they made it less special.
Well, the thing that gets me, Mike, is, okay, Bronson Reed's going to come out, but why would he come out prior to a possibility of the guy he's going to want to go against winning a title, when if he wins the title, he could still come out and attack him, but now their feud will be for a title.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't get that. I mean, the better thing would have been to have Bronson Reed come out and do commentary, and yeah, there's some things that go on between Reed and Lashley during the match, but Lashley goes on to win the match and then attack him. You know, attack Lashley. There you go. There's your setup for the match. And we know what we're going to get with that match. I mean, Bronson Reed, even though he's a big guy, he may be in cardiovascular shape, but he doesn't know how to pace himself. He is not, he's not Otis. And when you put him in a ring with a guy like Bobby Lashley, who's obviously older than him, but he's in better cardiovascular shape, you know. And he can go. Lashley, at his late age, can still go, you know, 10, 15 minutes, you know, in a match. You can get a 15-minute match out of him, you know. And so, whereas you, I don't think you can with Bronson Reed. You know,
I mean,
so,
you might be able to if you pace it right. Well, a few weeks ago, we blamed his lethargic performance on cardiovascular, but apparently he had the flu and wrestled anyway, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. Maybe he can, but the point isn't even that. The point is him attacking him in that particular instance doesn't make a lot of sense. You're right. Let the match go on. Let him be on commentary. Let Lashley be distracted and lose the match. Then you know what you've done? You've promoted Austin Theory. He beat Bobby Lashley. Yeah, but he only beat Bobby Lashley because he was busy jawjacking with Bronson Reed and or whatever. Bronson Reed was acting like he was threatening to come in and was very distracted. And then Reed attacks. Well, now Reed can attack him because, well, he's not the champion. And he's not. It's not going to be for the belt anyway, so I might as well attack him. But let him try to win it, because if he does win it, then if I attack him, I'll be going for a title. That would make a hell of a lot more sense, Todd, so I don't get the storyline.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, last night, where that match with Lashley and Theory there, they should have went the other way around in this match, have him attack Lashley after the match, not during the match, and get disqualified. Now, by the looks of it, we're going to probably end up seeing a three-way dance for the U.S. Championship.
Let's hope that's not the case, because I don't really know if I want to see that. We then get to the Cody Rhodes segment, where he comes out and basically challenges Brock Lesnar to come out, and Adam Pearce comes out and says, please don't do it now, because you're not cleared to wrestle. But you were cleared to wrestle when you had a completely torn pectoral muscle. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. So there's the logic in these writers. He had his pec literally torn off the bone, and he was cleared to wrestle. Seth Rollins in Hell in a Cell. He gets beat up a little by Brock Lesnar, and he's not cleared to wrestle when he's not even asking to wrestle. He's not asking for a match to take place tonight. He's asking for Brock Lesnar to come out. That makes zero sense again. The whole night made zero sense. Zero. So Brock Lesnar does come out, you know, cosplay dressed as The Undertaker. And Cody Rhodes tries desperately to get to him, takes out 20 security guards and Adam Pearce. But Brock Lesnar just walks away. Brock Lesnar doesn't come to attack him. And he calls Brock Lesnar not a cowboy, but a coward. And they're going to have their match at Backlash. I don't know, man. Once again, who wrote this? You're not medically cleared to be to do what? To talk to Brock Lesnar? You're not medically cleared. Well, we know it's going to lead to a fight. Well, you got security there. If you have security to haul Cody Rhodes away, you got security to keep the two apart. I don't know, Mike. Again, it's written like a kid wrote it, because none of it is logical.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, it would have been better if they did that, because think about it. You know, you were expecting, I was expecting a pull apart, and that's what we should have gotten. We should have gotten them 20, 25, 30 security guards trying to keep those two guys apart. That's what we should have gotten.
Right. Or if you don't want to do that, at least what you could have done was you could have had Adam Pearce say, look, here's the deal. I'm giving you your match at Backlash. You don't need to do this. If you do this, though, and you guys have any physical contact whatsoever tonight, no match. No match. That way, when Cody goes after Brock Lesnar and says, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to get my pound of flesh now, and security's holding them back, that would make a good reason where Brock Lesnar would say, I'm not touching him. I'll wait till the match. I'll wait till the payday when I'm getting paid. And Cody being so mad he doesn't care about a payday. That at least makes some sense. What you did here makes no sense. Especially with the not medically cleared to be here. What the hell are they talking about, Tom? They let him compete in Hell in a Cell with his pectoral muscle torn off the bone.
Yeah, that made absolutely zero sense. And here's another thing. You can always tell now when Vince McMahon has the creative in his palm, because this has Vince McMahon written all over it. Apparently now, so you're going to – and again, I say that it's insulting to wrestling fans because Cody, who was cleared to wrestle with a torn pec in a Hell in a Cell match, is not cleared to wrestle tonight, but yet he could beat up 20 security guards to get to Brock Lesnar and call, and that's all he has at the end game was to call Brock Lesnar not a cowboy but a coward. This solidifies now for, and it should for everyone, why Cody Rhodes is not the champion. He just doesn't, honestly, just doesn't have it.
I mean, he's got to do what's written, I guess, but I mean, it doesn't, like you said, so he's not medically clear to compete, but he can kick the hell out of 20 security guards. Makes no sense. So all night long, nothing makes sense. There's no reason for the Judgment Day to form an alliance with the Usos or the Bloodline. It makes no sense. The reasoning is not there. It makes no sense why Trish Stratus is going to have a feud with Becky Lynch where it's going to make it look as though Trish Stratus is the equal to Becky Lynch when she shouldn't be close to the equal to Becky Lynch given her activity recently and her age. It makes absolutely no sense that Dakota Kai, who didn't win a tournament to decide who's the next person to fight Bianca Belair, fights Bianca Belair even if it's not for the title. That makes no sense. It makes no sense that The Miz can't beat up Snoop Dogg, but he can damn sure come close to beating Seth Rollins. Makes no sense that Cody Rhodes is not cleared because he took some bumps from Brock Lesnar, but he can wrestle with his pectoral torn off the bone. None of this makes any sense. Makes no sense that Bronson Reed would attack a guy, preventing him from winning a title who he knows he's going to face, thus preventing himself from getting a title shot. None of that makes any sense, folks. By the way, I didn't even discuss the fact that the LWO is quickly becoming the Spirit Squad. They're just there to get beat up. I mean, these guys just come out and literally get their ass kicked every single week. They are not a threat. They are not tough. They are literally jabron stooges who get beat up every single week. They don't have a victory to show. They don't have a ring-clearing moment to show. They're always the one on their backs at the end. So why did you even form them? Why'd you even bother? Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green take on Candice LeRae and Mee Chin. Listen, you can forget the Mee Chin experiment. It's over. It's just over. There's nothing there. Personality, zero. Candice LeRae can't get over in WWE at all. She was over in NXT. She's not over in WWE. She's not going to be over in WWE. So at least Chelsea Green has some personality and something to hang your hat on. They let that team win. I mean, I guess that's the right team to win if you're going to try to promote them somewhat. But I'm not even sold on Sonya all that much anymore. I mean, she can go, but you've made her such a punching bag over the last several years that I have there's no believability that she's a top competitor. So, I don't know. Do we think that Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville are going to be tag team champions? Hell no. I mean, you know, maybe, who knows? They'll give it to anybody these days, so maybe. They shouldn't be. So, I mean, you know, okay match, Todd, but, you know, it's like a popcorn match. Nobody really cared one way or the other.
that match for last night for the Sonny Deville and me, Aim, and others, it was more like going to the bathroom intermission match, like leaving your seat to go to the bathroom.
Pretty much. Nobody really cared. I mean, I get it. You're trying to promote Chelsea Green. That's good because she's good, actually. I like her. Think she'd be better on her own, but okay. You need tag teams, that's for sure. So good for you if you're going to build one. But, I mean, since when did Meechin and Candice LeRae become a tag team? 5 minutes before the show started? I don't know, Mike. That didn't thrill me too much.
Now we know why Indy Hartwell is not up yet, because she's now currently holding the NXT title. I mean, if anything, if she wasn't holding that NXT title, then you bring her up to tag team with Candice LeRae because there's a tie there, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, and out of those two people, Indy Hartwell has a personality. I mean, out of all these people that are currently in tag teams, you know, we look at what's her name, Green. The two with the most potential are Green and, of course, our friend there from Texas, Gonzalez. You know, what's her name?
Raquel Rodriguez.
The big girl, the big strong girl.
Rodriguez.
And those two need to be separate. They need to be separated from their tag team partners because they have the most potential. They have personality. You can do something with those two women. You know. Whereas the other two, yeah, what's her name? Liv Morgan is not ready to be. She should be in a tag team. She's not ready yet to be a champion. They pushed her too soon. And I don't know, like you said, Sonya Deville is so much the punching bag that I don't know if she'll ever be. She may be one of these ones that maybe need to go someplace else to get their career back in order.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to recover for her because she's lost so much and she's never been used as a top or even a mid-carder, really. So, again, you know, it was fun to see Chelsea Green win and get a, you know, maybe get a little push. But at the end of the day, Tom, you know, these tag teams just seem thrown together.
Yeah, and not only that, but Meechin, it's done with. Like, I think they should just send her back down to NXT or throw her on in AEW because this crowd, and for the most part, for the last little while, has been crickets when she came out. There's no personality. There's no charisma, nothing. And it's just... It's actually really sad because she is a polar opposite, you know, elsewhere.
It's strange. I don't know. They tried. They even gave her the hookup with Anderson and Gallows and AJ Styles, and even that didn't help. Even that didn't help. Now, backstage, we saw the return of Tozawa in a funny segment. Where Elias was saying he'd probably go first in the draft to Rick Boogs, who said, well, yeah, of course you will. And then he said, well, you know, if you don't get picked, I'll do my best to get you where I am. And then Tozawa comes along and says Elias will probably go last in the draft. And that brings Corbin along, who says, hey, that was a good one. And he says, oh, nobody likes you. Nobody needs to hear from you. Pretty funny segment, but that segment was undermined, I think, by a great segment with Alpha Academy and Maxine, who they've done a really good job with Maxine. She looks phenomenal. And Otis and Gable are just killing it. They're just killing it with these gimmicks. It's working on all levels. I hope they continue to do something with this that's not stupid, because it's working, and I think the fans are going to start appreciating it more as it goes on. So hopefully they got a good storyline coming here, and it's not just like a one-off, and then we go back to Alpha Academy as usual or whatever. I hope they've got something for this, because this is one of the few things I think that they have other than the Bloodline storyline that's really cranking on all cylinders right now, Mike.
I agree with you. And look, this woman, this Maxine, she has a personality, right?
Yeah.
I guess she's a wrestler. I guess she's trained as a wrestler. You know, so I'm at some point you're going to have to get her in the ring, because she's got too much personality not to have her get in the ring at some point. Now, when will that be? I don't know. But, yeah, five, if you want to count the other two guys as well, they work well together. They have chemistry. All five of them have chemistry together, and obviously they're probably going to end up either splitting them up or having Alpha Academy face the other two guys, you know, which would be a good match.
You know, I thought that's where that was going, because it seems obvious that's where it's going, but then I don't know. Now he's saying, well, if you take Otis, you got to take both members of the Alpha Academy. That's the bargain. And she didn't seem to be, like, totally saying, I'm not going to do it. She doesn't like Gable, but I don't know. I don't know where this is going. That's the fun thing about it, is I'm not 100% sure they know where it's going. They just know that it's working, so they're, I guess it's a work in progress, Todd. But that was a funny segment.
You're absolutely right, Tara, too. Like you said, when they kept saying, we say, say shush the correct way. I don't like how you say, or something like that. Chad Gable to Maxine.
Otis is, she's saying, who would you rather have on the face of this, myself and OT? It was a very good segment, Tom. They did a good job.
Yeah, and Otis is like, would you rather have so-and-so, or OT said, and Otis is like, oh, yeah. He was like the Kool-Aid guy. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so entertained by Otis. And Chad Gable chiming in, he was like, it is Chad. Okay, Chad. Shush, shush,
Chad Gable.
So great. And he was lipping his words. It was hysterical. I'm glad I wasn't drinking anything at that point.
Yeah, she called him Chaz Gable, right? Yeah, very good. They're doing a good job with those guys. So we get to the main event, where the Judgment Day is supposed to pay back Bloodline for, I guess, taking care of their problem. I don't know how this takes care of a problem. See, this is the thing. If you're going to take care of a problem, that usually means I just want you to go backstage and injure this person. So if the Bloodline were to injure Rey Mysterio backstage, I'd say, I get it. I get that. But what does beating them have to do with it? That doesn't solve a problem. That should be back next week. So you win a match, and that solves the problem how? How does that solve the problem? So let's just say the Judgment Day beats Riddle and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and that solves the problem how? It's a stupid premise. It makes no sense. But they don't do it anyway. Then, to add insult to injury, and this is why I think we're going to see some intergender thing soon, is Rhea Ripley literally turns Kevin Owens upside down with a clothesline. Now, I'm sorry. I don't mind if Kevin Owens goes down, but to turn somebody inside out like that was Braun Strowman is ludicrous. It looked fake as hell. It's not getting her. People are saying, oh, it's so ridiculous. See, that's what people don't understand. It's not like this is people in the audience going, oh, my God, she's stronger than Braun Strowman. No, people in the audience are going, oh, God, how ridiculous is that? And that's not what you want. It's not what you want. But I think they're going to push Rhea Ripley into having a match with a man. And I'm telling you right now, that could be the end of me and the WWE, because I know people are going to say you didn't feel that way about China and Jeff Jarrett. It was different. It was a lot different. If you, from the very beginning, China had to wrestle many women when she wrestled Jeff Jarrett. She was mostly just a bodyguard, and the one she did, she threw around like rag dolls. There was no real competition. Rhea Ripley has almost been beaten by several women and has been beaten by a couple. But of course, Kevin Owens couldn't do it, or Solo Sikoa couldn't do it. Well, that's dumb. Of course they could. Of course they could. So it's a little bit different. Anyway, I hope that's not where it's going. But at the end of the day, Finn Balor, who I told you is going to be low man on the totem pole, did I not tell you that Finn Balor is not going to be the leader of this group? He's going to end up being low man on the totem pole because they're pushing Dominic and Rhea, obviously, and they're starting now to push Damian Priest a little because of the Bad Bunny thing, and Finn's going to be the guy out, and he's the guy out. He loses again. Loses again. This causes the Usos to come out, and then the whole LWO come out, and all they do is get beat up, but they come out, and this is how it ends. Well, okay, the brawl in the end was entertaining enough, I guess. And you kind of knew that it was going to be Zayn and KO and Riddle winning, but you notice the brawl at the end, they already had Rhea Ripley back at the dressing room. They didn't want any part of that. I don't know, man. From a standpoint of the matches themselves, just watching them, if I knew nothing about any storylines and I'm just watching the matches, I'd say the matches were entertaining enough. Certainly The Miz and Seth Rollins was a great match. But the storylines and where they're heading and the amount of illogical storyline that's now coming, I don't like. I see the direction it's going, and it's going in a very bad direction for a lot of these feuds coming up. And when you have that big of gaping plot holes where you just say this makes no sense at all, then you can't buy into it. And then you become disinterested because you're like, this doesn't make sense. Now, you haven't dropped the ball at all with the Bloodline storyline ever. You did this week. This makes no sense. The Bloodline does not need another group with the exact same amount of members to do their dirty work. Why would they? Vice versa, the Judgment Day shouldn't need a group to do their dirty work. Why would they? None of this makes any sense. This is one of the most illogical Raws I've seen in a really long time. And for that reason, not for the match reason, for the matches, I would say that was a strong B. All night long was a strong B. But for the illogicalness behind it is F. So if you combine a B and an F, I guess I'm going to give it a D plus. Or that's about the best I can come up with, Mike.
I got to give it a D as well, and that's the thing. I mean, look. And even the whole thing with the Maximum Male Models and Gable and Otis couldn't save this thing. I mean, think about it. I mean, I just don't get it. Why would they tease something like an intergenerational thing when we know that doesn't work, you know? I mean, look, she, like you said, she is not China. China was, she's maybe 5'6", 5'7", is Rhea Ripley. China was damn near 6 feet tall. China's more like Charlotte Flair and more muscular.
Even bigger than that she was. And here's the thing. Rhea Ripley's already had an intergender match with Tozawa. And Tozawa held his own. He lost, but he held his own. That one I can live with because he's so small. But he held his own. So if he holds his own, then you would think that Solo would absolutely destroy her. I don't know if that's heading that direction or not, Todd, but I can't give it any more than a D+. What's yours?
couldn't give him more than a D-plus as well. Like you said, it's like a mixed bag this week.
It really was. From a match standpoint, it was entertaining enough. But, man, where it's heading, the storylines, the illogical nature of the storylines, is a complete fail, Tom.
Yeah, the storylines were absolutely all over the place. And honestly, like, the matches were good. I'll go with you there. Matches were entertaining in that sense. They did lose me when Kevin Owens gets turned inside out like he's, like Rhea Ripley's The Undertaker. If she did that to Sami Zayn, I get it. But Kevin Owens is twice the size of Rhea Ripley, and he gets turned inside out. This is what I call pandering, honestly. And I'm hoping it doesn't go this direction. Finn Balor taking the fall. You might as well dust off Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, bring back the Job Squad, and give Finn the leader of that group.
He's not going anywhere. I think the draft is going to break that team up anyway, to be perfectly honest. So, folks, if you enjoyed the matches on Raw, I'm glad. I'm just worried about the storylines. I'm worried about these gigantic, glaring potholes in the storyline and the illogical nature of the writing, because that's when I start losing interest in wrestling, is when the logic becomes so ridiculously bad that you can't even buy into the feuds, because you're saying, well, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And there's too much stuff last night on Raw that literally made no sense from a storyline point of view for me to be that entertained by it. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday with a weekly wrap-up. See you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.